Well, this morning we're going to take a little detour, I guess, or a little break from our journey through the Gospel of John, because today is a special day. It's a special day for a couple reasons. First reason is because we're going to be commissioning Pastor Chuck, and it's a great time to look at who we are as a church, and also it's our church anniversary, and as our church anniversary, it's a special day to look at why we're here as a church family. And what we're going to look in particular about this morning is what is valuable or what should be valuable to us. And we're going to kind of look in a little bit of a unique way. But as we talk about who we are as individuals in Joy Community Fellowship, one of the verses in Scripture we often look at, I guess it's kind of like our church verse, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you probably know it by heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation." Right? "The old has passed away, behold, the new has come." Basically, that tells us Jesus changes everything. And when we come to Jesus, he changes the way we look at ourselves, the way we look at others, the way we look at our world, and the way in which we live our lives. And it's really a huge truth for us to grasp as individuals and as a church family. But it's also important to grasp this truth that Jesus changes everything and that we are these new creations, because it should drive us to live our lives based on this new life in Jesus and this new life that Jesus gives us. Actually, a couple verses after verse 17 in 2 Corinthians 5, I want to take you to something that Paul says that's important for what we'll be talking about today. Paul says in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "Therefore, as we're new creations in Christ, the old is gone, behold, the new has come," right? "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And this is a really important set of verses here. And Paul kind of leads it off with something I want to kind of focus on a little bit today, where he says we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Basically, an ambassador is one who is sent out to represent someone. That's what ambassador is. We have ambassadors in our country, right? They are sent out to represent the interests of our country. They're sent to other countries. And basically, when they speak, they are speaking for our country and our leadership. So they go and they represent. So the best way to kind of see this is that in this case, we're sent as ambassadors for Christ. We're sent and we're made brand new in him to represent Jesus in our world. The best way that we can all represent Jesus or reflect him in our world is to look like him. And this should be our desire. We want to look like Jesus or reflect Jesus. And by looking like Jesus, I don't mean we go out and we grow a beard and, you know, we wear a robe and sandals and things like that and look like a hippie or something like that. I'm not saying that. More important than this, we're to take on those characteristics and those things that are important to Jesus as he shared the kingdom of God while he walked on this earth. Another way of saying this is we represent or reflect Jesus best when we value what Jesus values. Now, values are very important. Do you know that? And as Joy Community Church, we have several values. But values are guiding principles based on firmly held beliefs that shape the way we live our daily life. The best way you can understand values is values are the how of life. You see, beliefs are the what of life. What do we believe? What do we hold to? And we have our beliefs in the Bible as God's word, and we have them on our website. You can look at our beliefs in God as being God alone and how we come to Christ and everything. But building on what we believe, our values, you see, because as the how of life, our lives reflect what we value. For example, if we value possessions, then we're driven to accumulate things. If we value peace, we seek to bring order and calm into our lives. So it's important that we have these solid beliefs and we have a good mission as a church to go out and make disciples. But without values, we can't accomplish what we're called to do or what we're sent out to do based on what we believe. Do you know that? Without values, we don't know how to do it. Have you ever had that? You've had truth, but you're like, all right, now what do I do with this? How do I live this? Well, that's what values are. They're the how of life. So it's important that we have these things. And as a church family, there's certain principles and attitudes that we strive for as Joy Community Church that we embody as God leads us. And these are values that not only we should have as a church, but as all followers of Christ, these are values that should mark us, that are a foundation from which we trust Jesus and share Him in our world. And as Joy Community Fellowship, these are foundational elements that help drive or shape the way in which we share Jesus with our world. So these are what's called a value, and they guide all of our ministries as a church and all of our service and things like that. You see, the best way to share Jesus with our world is to reflect Him in our lives. And we reflect Jesus not only by taking on what He believes or believing what He believes, but also we want to look like Him. So this morning, I want to take a kind of a peek at what Jesus looks like. So not necessarily what Jesus believes. We spend a lot of time, and as we've been going through John, we've been looking at those beliefs. And I don't want to necessarily look at certain specific behaviors. Rather, I want to look at what those beliefs and behaviors should look like. What should drive them? In discovering what Jesus looks like, I think we're going to get a picture of what we should desire to look like as ambassadors for Jesus, as individual followers of Jesus, but also as Joy Community Fellowship. So basically, what we're going to learn this morning is how do we value what Jesus values? And so this morning, what I want to take you to is a little bit about what our church is about in terms of values. And we have these on our websites and things like that, but I want to go over these this morning and tell you where they come from and why they're anchored in Jesus, so hopefully we can better understand why we as a church family do what we do the way we do it, and most of all, that these values then can unite us as individual followers of Jesus so that we can follow Jesus better together. So I want to take a look at what Jesus looks like and how we can reflect Him in His values. And as we start to look at Jesus, one of the first things that leaps out to me as I look at the life of Jesus when He was here on earth and His ministry here on earth was that Jesus was genuine. When those who walked with Jesus looked to Jesus, what they saw was what they got. Jesus wasn't trying to impress anyone when He was here. He wasn't trying to put on airs. He wasn't trying to portray something He wasn't. Rather, He was authentic. And He says, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. But this is how we're going to do this. And they were consistent with the Father. So as Jesus was being genuine and authentic. You see, many times Jesus, He could have worked up a crowd, right, and become a celebrity. We saw that in John 6, where He had these huge crowds following Him. He could have worked them up, and He could have been a celebrity. He could have lived a life of luxury. He could have only spoken at the big gigs, you know, at the temple. And He could have been the most famous guy in the culture as He knew it. But He remained a normal, relatable person. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus is fully God, and we learned about that in John, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and Jesus is fully God. So there's this aspect of Jesus that He is different than us. But there's also, Jesus not only was fully God, He was fully man. And because of this, Jesus experienced similar temptations, similar needs. He even experienced loss like we lost that we all experience. And do you know what else? Jesus wasn't afraid, or he didn't shy back or try to pretend that he didn't have these kinds of needs, or didn't pretend that he wasn't fully human. I mean, when his buddy Lazarus died, and we're going to get into that a little bit later this year in John chapter 11, you know what he did? He wept. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm God, I can't weep. I got to show, you know, I'm pretty serious all the time." You know, when he got angry, then he spoke his mind. Look at what he does with the religious leaders. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Matthew 23, where he kind of goes after the religious leaders, and it's inside of Jesus. You're like, whoa, what is he doing? But you know why? Because that's who he was. And it was something he valued. It was being genuine. And he didn't even mind people knowing when he had weaknesses or when he was tired, and he would go to his disciples and said, "I need to go off by myself and pray and get recharged." Do you remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was betrayed? He went and he prayed with the disciples. What did he ask the disciples? He said, "Sit with me, stay with me, stand watch with me." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Man, I feel exposed right now, and I need you here with me." Now, as God, he didn't need anything, but as a man, he's saying, "Hey, I want you guys with me. Because what I'm dealing with is a lot." And we saw in his prayer where he says, "Not my will, but your will be done. But if this cup can be taken from me," right? And he shares these things. And so Jesus is this genuine person. And as a result of being genuine, it was very easy for the people of that day to identify with Jesus and relate to him so that they would more readily listen to him. If you look at who Jesus got to teach, his reach was beyond where all the religious leaders were, who always tried to portray something else, right? Rather, he got with the people and he spoke to them, and they could identify with him. So when he spoke, they listened. And as we look at this value from Jesus, and from this value, we discover that we as individuals and as a church family, we best share Jesus when we're first of all real like Jesus. In fact, this is probably our number one value as a church family on the back of our church t-shirt. If you just got a church t-shirt, it says real people, you know, we're becoming real people, growing in real faith, impacting real life. Well, what do we mean by this real? Well, this means that we should desire that in all we do and say to be real or authentic. So when we minister, we follow Christ, when we serve as ambassadors for Christ, right? And are sharing him, this means that we want to be authentic in our lives. And it begins with being authentic with God, being open and honest with God. And then others as we embrace who he's made us to be in Jesus. You know, sometimes we can struggle with this, can't we? To be authentic. Sometimes we feel exposed. We don't want to be open and honest with God because we doubt his unconditional love. We become fearful that he's not going to work in our life if we're not really doing everything up to snuff. So we go to God and we don't want to really share when we have a true need or what we're really going through, or to be exposed with God because we want to make sure that he's always pleased with us. Have you ever been there? So sometimes we can't even be ourselves with God. And this faulty mindset then affects our ability to be open and honest with others. Do you know that? When we can't be open and honest with God, we can't be open and honest with other people. We don't trust God's love and acceptance. Therefore, we're going to try to portray ourselves differently than we really are. We may hide things that we do, or we try to protect our flaws. We embellish our good things to only show the best of ourselves. And we're afraid that people ever see a struggle. How can my neighbor ever come to Christ if they see that we're having money problems? Or that we're having a health issue, or we feel a little discouraged right now? How can they ever come to Christ? Because we have to be perfect. And that's a faulty mindset. You see, we don't need to be perfect, we need to be real. We need people to be able to identify with us. And the truth is that God does love us completely and unconditionally. Do Do you know that? Even on our worst day, we are loved completely by God. That should help us be honest and open with God and with others, because even if people don't like us, guess what? God still does. And he's the one that matters. And he's got us. And Paul speaks to this in Romans chapter 5. We should know this verse by heart as well. But God shows his love for us, that while we're still sinners, Christ dies for us. While we're still sinners, while we're at our very worst, Christ died for us. There is nothing that can make God love us more or less than he already does. Do you know that? Because he loves us completely. That should free us. That should free us from feeling like we have to perform for others or for him. It should free us. No matter what anyone may think or say, our identity is in Jesus and we are his. And again, it frees us from that need to perform for God or for others, and it lets us live lives of humility and integrity. Why? Because we're following Christ. In fact, Paul, a little bit later in Romans, he says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say, everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Do you know what Paul's saying? Be real. Don't think you're more than you are, because you're only who you are because of Jesus. Paul talks about that in Ephesians, right? That none of us can boast. It's a gift of God. But yet, we're also his. So to think in sober judgment, to realize we're only complete, we're only free, we're only have value because God gives us value. And therefore, if he loves us, we can cling to him even through as he's shaping us. And I love how Paul says it's through the measure of faith given to each one of us, because we're not all in the same place with our growth in Jesus or our faith in Jesus. Sometimes God's shaping us in some areas and he's shaping others in other areas. And some God's giving us, changing our behaviors in some things. Other people have already changed in that area. And sometimes we feel like we need to hide that. But again, we're growing in Jesus and he's the one who brings change to our life. So we trust him and we're okay with that. And then we can share that with each other and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray with me? Can you do this? But being real means we can freely admit our mistakes and we can trust God to change us. And it also means that we give God the glory in all things when things are going well. Like with Jesus, being real can help our world identify with us, because they're going to see real people. Not people that say, I never do anything wrong, but rather people that when we do something wrong, we admit it and we ask for forgiveness because we're already forgiven. And then they're drawn to see Jesus in us. You see, we best share Jesus when we're real like Jesus. So that's our first value as a church family. Second thing we see about Jesus that leaps out to me while looking at his ministry here on earth was that he wasn't just real, but he was also a people person. What I mean by that is Jesus sought to connect with people in a personal way, and he sought out relationships. Jesus didn't hide himself away in an office and only walk on stage and say, all right, now you're going to listen to me. Rather, Jesus didn't want to be a loner. He came to be with people, right? To be around people, because he loves people and he values people. So he didn't sit back and just say, well, people need to come to me. He went to them. And Jesus met people right where they were. As a matter of fact, Jesus left heaven to come to us, didn't he? And while he was here on earth, he interacted with individuals, small groups of people, and he interacted with huge crowds of people. But Jesus had healthy relationships when he was here on earth. He had a healthy relationship with his family, didn't he? We see this at his first miracle. Where is he? He goes to a wedding with his family. He's in a good relationship with his family. What was one of his last pieces of ministry as he hung on the cross? What did he do? He spoke to one of his disciples, John, and said, "Can you take care of my mother?" Making sure that his family was okay. It was cared for. Healthy relationships with his family. And then speaking of his disciples, he had 12 disciples, right? Who he poured himself into and had relationship with. And he had three that he was closest with, and Peter, James, and John. And Jesus didn't hesitate to connect with all types of people, from prostitutes and thieves to scholars and priests, to the very rich and the very poor. Jesus made a point of connecting personally with people and having good relationships with people. And it's from this aspect of Jesus that we discover that we best share Jesus not only when we're real, but also another value, we're relational. And this is something that Jesus reflects and Jesus shows us, and we're to reflect that Jesus has, or we're to value, is to be relational like Jesus. And this means we should desire to be known by our loving and healthy relationships with each other that then extends out into our community. We're not called to be a social club where we come in these doors and we put, you know, locks on the doors and we say, you can only come if you're cleaned up, you know, and people only see us when we're coming to and from our car. We should be out relating not only inside these walls, but outside these walls with our neighbors and our community. You know, Jesus noted this to his disciples in John 13. He says, "By this, all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus said, one of the ways people are going to know that you belong to me is how you relate to people. One way is in terms of our love, or the way we value each other. Now, this is very important in our world today, isn't it? Because we don't see a lot of this in our world. Rather, we see people trying to get each other, right? And put each other down and tear each other apart. Yet our value is to relate, right? And this love for each other, it springs from a loving and growing relationship with Jesus, just as the disciples had. Again, we can't relate well with our world unless we're relating well with God. But it means that we care for each other, we encourage each other, not because we have to or it's our duty, but because we value each other, just as God values us. And we've been changed by the truths of God. And as God's truth, God's word starts to change us, it should also affect the way we relate together. It should improve our relationships. So the more we grow in God's truth, the more we grow in our relationships with others. And it should be reflected in this as we grow in that. And this means we do things like we freely extend forgiveness to each other when we've wronged each other. And we ask for forgiveness, just as God has forgiven us. It means that we extend grace because God has extended us in grace. It means that we seek to engage people right where they are in life, leading them to a vibrant, growing relationship with Jesus and others. But it all comes from our relationship with God through his word. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, this is what Paul's getting at, where he says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive." All of these things of putting on reflect the way God relates to us in the way we relate to him and relate to others. And where do we find this? In our world. And he says, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. See, a healthy relationship with others, it's a sign of our healthy relationship with God. And relating well to others is a key to sharing Jesus as well. So we should be not only real, but relational. Now, as we continue to look at Jesus' life, another mark of his life and ministry is that he took these relationships and he helped people through these relationships to understand God's truth in a down-to-earth way, didn't he? Jesus was able to present timeless truths that spoke to the real needs of people in a way that they could understand it and respond. It's amazing when we look at some of the interactions of Jesus, the way that he cut through all of the muck and the mud and how people like to muddy things up to get to the heart of the matter. Do you remember how the religious leaders used to always question Jesus and trip him up on little details because they were so concerned about every little detail of the law? And Jesus would see through that and he would get to the heart of the matter. And all these times where they're talking about the law, Jesus would say, you want to get to the heart of the law? Okay. You've heard it said, do not murder. That's what the law says, right? Well, I tell you, if you have hatred in your heart, you've already murdered somebody. You see, it's a heart issue. And this is what Jesus is trying to say. It's not all these little things, but God's truth should impact our entire life from the inside out, right? And they try to trip him up and try to turn him, but Jesus would uncover that true need in conversations he would have with people. Remember the woman at the well, and she came for water, and he said, I want to give you true water. Jesus shared God's truth with others in ways that they could understand, and it was often through simple stories or what we call parables, or sometimes it was by using relatable examples of what he had just done. You know, the last few weeks we've been in John chapter 6 and we looked at the feeding of the 5,000, right? One of the greatest miracles of Jesus, where he feeds this 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. And it was awesome. And these people, while it's fresh in their mind, do you remember what he told them when they gathered together with him? John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, all right, you know about this bread? Well, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. See, talk about getting to the heart of the matter. He says, yeah, okay, speaking of food, and you like that food, right? And you know you needed nourished the food because without it you were going to die? Well, let me tell you what that means. I am that for you spiritually. So Jesus came to address these real needs, and he brought these real needs to bear in people's lives in a very relatable way, as we just talked about. But from this value of Jesus being able to apply and share God's truth in a down-to-earth way, we discover another value. In fact, we best share Jesus when we're also relevant like Jesus. See, as Joy Community Fellowship, we seek to be real, we seek to be relational and have good relationships, but we also want to be relevant. What does that mean? That means we should desire as individuals and desire as a church family to address real issues of real life from the eternal truths of God's Word. So we're not just talking about, hey, how to have a better life like we're doing some self-help book. Rather, we're saying, you know, how life gets better? It's through God's truth in His Word. And we take God's truth and we relate it to real life. See, based on God's truth, here's how we can live. Here's how we can understand our world around us. Here's how we can understand what work should look like tomorrow morning. It's because of God's truth. And it becomes relevant that the Bible's not just some old book for thousands of years ago for them to live, but it affects the way we can live our lives today. These truths, they might not always be politically correct, they might not always be popular or even comfortable, but in God's Word is life for us, and it makes a difference. It guides us as our authority. You know, every Sunday, in fact, I prayed it as we began our message today. I kind of always say this about God's Word, right? God's Word is as true today as when it was first written, and it has the power to change our lives. Do you know what I'm saying by that? And you know why I say that every week? Is because I'm saying, as we approach the Bible, I want you to understand that the Bible is real, and the Bible is relevant. The Bible says what it says, and it's never changing. And these never-changing truths speak to our world, even today, our ever-changing world that seems the world changes what everything is, but God's Word never changes. And therefore, we can live our lives based on it. In fact, in Colossians 3, as Paul talks about this loving one another and these relational values, he talks about being relevant and changed by God's Word. In verse 15, if you want to look at that, it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with all thankfulness in your heart. Why are we doing this? So that whatever we do in word or deed, we can do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then he goes, then Paul goes in Colossians and starts saying, so in your family relationships, God's word should make a difference. In your work time, as you work, it should make a difference. In the way you relate to authority in our world today, it should make a difference. God's word should make a difference in the way in which we live our lives. God's word speaks to real life, and it directs our real life. Much like in Jesus' day, these truths of the Bible, they need to be communicated in such a way that they can be understood for real life by people that may have never heard these truths. Again, sometimes we look at the Word of God and we're like, what does that mean? Well, that's why we want to be relevant. And that's why we want to break it down and say, this is what God's Word is saying. That's why we as a church family, we take a lot of time. And I know Chuck and I, we spend a lot of time talking, and we as elders and our leadership team take a lot of time saying, what difference does God's word make in life? And we look at that, and Rob, as he's selecting songs and guiding us through in worshiping through song, looks at God's word and says, how does God's word, how should it shape the way we even sing to God? So we want to live our lives based on God's word. From the songs we sing, to the messages we share on a Sunday morning, to our small group Bible studies, and to learning to share Jesus with a friend or a coworker. In fact, this is why we're doing our midweek class on starting this Wednesday, so we can better understand God's word as an individual, so that we can see how God's word is relevant to our lives, how we can look at God's word and say, all right, well, what does this mean for life today? And again, we as a church, this is our mission, and this is our value, is we want to be relevant. Why? Because God's word is relevant. And Jesus, in his ministry, was relevant. You see, Jesus is clearly shared through us in our world when we commit to being relevant. And then finally, I want to share one more value as we look at the life of Jesus. You know, looking at his life and ministry, we find that Jesus was always quick to respond. Jesus was quick to respond to his mission. Jesus was quick to respond to any need that arose and what he needed to do. He was attentive to the needs and opportunities as they arose, and he acted upon them in response to them. In fact, Jesus sets this out in the beginning of his ministry in Luke 4, where he quotes from Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus says, this is why I'm sent, so this is what I'm doing. He carried this out, right, through his acts of ministry and ultimately meeting our ultimate need of salvation, right? And it's best seen in how Jesus responds to our need for a Savior. In fact, Paul in Philippians talks about that, and he says, not only does Jesus respond, but we're to respond like this as well. And here's what he says in Philippians 2. Have this mind, or have this value among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, which is just like Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death to a cross. You see, this value should drive us, right? And it drove Jesus, and he was responsive to that. There was a need? Great. I will give up my place in heaven. I will come down and be found in the weakness of human form. I will give myself and suffer as a servant in response to the greatest need we ever have and we can never meet ourselves. And Jesus didn't hesitate. And from this, we discover that we also best share Jesus when we're not only real and relational and relevant, but also responsive like Jesus. We want to be responsive. We should be responsive in our lives so that when God tells us something, we do it. so that when God presents an opportunity, we follow it. So when God calls us to obedience, we obey. When God calls us to repent, when he points out something in our life that doesn't line up with him, we address it. But we should be people that are driven by a response of God, attentive to what God has. In fact, this responsiveness is what we see in Jesus' first disciples, isn't it? In Mark, we have that story of when Jesus goes to the fishermen. He says, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And it says, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. They didn't hum and haw. I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be hard to be responsive, isn't it? We may say, well, that'll be uncomfortable, you know, or that'll mean maybe I look bad in front of people if I respond and repent or admit that I didn't do this or I'm struggling with something. Or maybe I don't know if I'll succeed. So I don't know if I want to respond. But God called us to respond. When he puts something before us, he's leading us to something. And when God leads us somewhere, we need to follow him. I'm always reminded that God has placed us here for a purpose. God has placed us on this postage stamp, on this lot in Haddon Heights, for a purpose. And we should be always seeking to say, all right, God, what would you have us to do, and who would you have us to be right here and right now? And then we respond to that. So then we're looking at needs that are all around us. See, sometimes we sit back and we say, well, God's not leading me, and we never look to say, all right, God, you've placed me here, so how can I respond? See, this value drives us then to respond to who God is and what he's done, and it leads us to live lives of passionate worship, right? Because we're responding to who God is and who God has called us to be, and so that we look different before people. But it also means that we're challenged to change or repent or obey God, and it means that we care for each other's needs when they arise. And we're responsive to those needs, not only in our church, but in our homes, in our community, as we seek to follow Jesus' example. And this responsiveness, it's grounded in a commitment to follow God's lead rather than running ahead of God. And we say, all right, God, where are you leading us? How can we respond? So these are values, right? And this is what Jesus looks like, the life of Jesus looks like, and it's what we're to look like as his followers. And these are our church values, right? They're grounded in God's truth, and they should shape our activities or what we do and how we serve him. Now, I want you to notice something real quick before we close. All these values are tied together. Do you know that? In fact, they're interdependent on each other. They depend on each other to happen. For example, if we're not real, living out who God says we are, we can't have healthy relationships. Without being relational or having good relationships, we can't share Jesus in a relevant way, can we? And if we can't understand and apply God's word or isn't relevant to us, then we can't respond, or we won't respond to it. So all of these values lead us to follow him, not only as a church, but they should lead us as individuals. More than anything else, these values are found in Jesus. So we're living our lives based on who Jesus is. And what happens is we begin to reflect him, enabling him to be seen in and through our lives. Again, the best way to share Jesus with our world is to reflect him in our lives. And these values help guide us. So as a church family this morning, I want to encourage you this on our anniversary as we kind of reset ourselves. And I love to share these values so we can remember this is who we are and this is how we do ministry. This is how we live our lives. Is we live our lives following Jesus, being like him. Well, how do we do that? We value what Jesus values. And we have the values that Jesus has. And this is how God has designed us to operate as individuals, as his followers, but also as his church, his Joy Community Fellowship. So I hope you're encouraged by this morning, and I hope you can look to these things. Again, they're on our website. It's a good way to evaluate ourselves. I know Chuck and I, we look at these in our leadership team. We look at these and say, how are we doing with these things? How we're doing it? Are we relating well? Are we being relevant in what we're doing? Or are we just kind of just doing things just to do them? Are we being responsive to what God's leading us to? Or are we just going ahead saying, we know ourselves? And are we being real? Or are we trying to be somebody we're not? Again, being real means that people can identify with us. Our world can identify with us and identify with Jesus in us. And it's a great way we share him. So that's our encouragement this morning. So let's pray.